The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Here's our next UFC Fight Night. It's tomorrow from the Apex in Las Vegas with our lightweight main event. Prelims start at 6 Eastern, followed by the main card at 9 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and ESPN Plus, which you can get by going to ESPNplus.com/UFC or downloading the ESPN app. Meanwhile, on planet Earth, check out this flyboarding in France imitating a human dolphin. Anybody up for this after
yes.
the show's
oh,
over?
Yes.
My.
Good
like
luck.
Spread right out on the Hudson? Let's
I don't
go.
Think they do that in the Hudson or the East.
I'll be the camera, Jess.
Yeah.
Hey, Jess, go get him.
Yeah, exactly. Right. You'll be in the boat next to me throwing
stuff.
Much harder than it looks.
Yeah, it looks really hard. It looks like, who was the villain from that Spider-Man movie? It was like Green Goblin
yes.
or somebody was doing that, right?
And
that,
yes.
Where do we find this? These are the things that make me feel like, you know, Ron Burgundy.
All
like, that
hear,
squirrel Ken Waters.
All I hear in my head is my old football coach who would scream at me, don't lead with your head. What happens if he goes down and he hits something?
But what else are you going to lead with?
Yeah, where are the brakes?
More iron, you could put a, Iron Man. The Iron Man gets to lift you up.
No thanks.
Fact of the matter is none of us know what we're talking about with regard to this stuff because I guess Jess would do it. Welcome back to Get Up. We're coming
in.
To you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
Roll the tee, Cindy. Let's go. It's time to get up with Kevin Durant in limbo. What chance is going on in Brooklyn? Which team has the best chance to make the biggest deal in NBA history? Plus, in Russ, we trust. Do the Lakers really want him back? Lakers coach has a new plan for the former MVP, but could it work? And did Jerry Jones and the Cowboys miss out on adding a superstar this offseason? Wait until you hear who wanted to team up with Dak, Micah, and company.
But we start with our game of the night. It is the Red Sox hosting the Yankees at Fenway Park. Let's start in the top of the third. No score, bases loaded, two outs. Josh Donaldson at the plate. He's going to hit a grand slam because the Yankees do that every night now.
It's kind of what the Yankees do. Three grand slams in two nights. Josh Donaldson getting on the board. Remember, Yanks had a 16 spot yesterday against the Pirates, getting it going early against the Red Sox last night.
Yankees tough to beat right now, but Rafael Devers is going to do his best. Bottom of the third, Devers up to bat against Yankees ace Gerrit Cole, and he's going to send one to deep right field.
See the location
run.
Of that down? I mean, like, breaking balls are one thing from Gerrit Cole, but how about at your ankles sending that one deep? And just the look on Gerrit Cole's face. By the way, Rafael Devers, five of his seven hits against Gerrit Cole have been home runs. So let's go a little repeat here in the fifth inning. Another slider down in the zone. This one a little bit more middle. Devers hits this one middle out to center field, one of the deepest parts there in Fenway, and it is a good feeling when you are on the other end of this, absolutely owning a pitcher, and that's Devers against Cole.
That cut the Yankees' lead to 6-5, bottom of the ninth, now two outs. Clay Holmes on for the save. Rob Refsnyder grounds out to end the game. The Yankees win it 6-5.
All right, Buster Olney, our dear friend, baseball insider, what were your biggest takeaways from the game last night?
Yeah, Jess, the Yankees bullpen reminding everybody this is the best part of the team. Absolutely a shutdown group that could wind up dominating October, fully capable of that. We saw that last night. Wandy Peralta with that great mix of stuff, that excellent changeup that he throws. Michael King with that sweeping slider. And how about Clay Holmes? He's allowed an earned run in one of his last 36 outings. He hasn't allowed a home run this year, facing 142 batters. What's great from the Yankee perspective is got a huge lead. You're going to be able to give these guys proper rest down the stretch and set them up for the postseason.
Oh, they have so many tools in their bullpen. I mean, even getting Aroldis Chapman back and healthy. I mean, who's the closer now? Knowing Clay Holmes, they've got so many options on the back end. But how about the front end? You look at Gerrit Cole and another shaky start against the Red Sox. When you think about a scale of 1 to 10, how concerned are you if you're a Yankees fan of Gerrit Cole right now?
Jess, I'd put it about a 7.5 to an 8 because You need Garrett Cole to be the guy, the gunslinger, the guy at the front of your rotation, absolutely dominating and feeling great about himself. And last year he got beat in Fenway Park in that playoff game, and he seemed so uncertain that day. Last night, kind of putting his hands up in the air about Rafael Devers, like, what do I need to do? You want him feeling confident as you roll into October.
Well, speaking of concerns, you know, within the Yankees, Aaron Judge sitting out last night's game, lower body soreness. How concerned are you with Aaron Judge?
How about a 1 out of 10? Look, within the Yankees organization, I think they view this as a minor deal. It's not a big deal. And again, this is the luxury that you have if you have a big lead. If guys come in and say, I'm a little bit sore, my lower body soreness, you can just say, take the night off. No problem. Anthony Rizzo last night, little back issue, give him the night off. I wouldn't be surprised to see Aaron Judge back in the lineup at some point during the course of the series. They want to make sure he's right for the rest of this year.
Buster, we've talked about this. I mean, this AL East is ridiculous. I know the Yankees are 15 games ahead of the Red Sox, but if you're ending the postseason or starting the postseason right now, top four teams in the AL East are in the postseason. So when you look at the Red Sox, 15 games behind the Yankees, yes, but what's the biggest thing that's at stake for them when you think about this series?
Yeah, Jess, I think it's all about seeding because you're not going to win the division. You're 15 games behind the Yankees, but it's really important to be the number one wild card because that would give you home field. All the games would be at home in that first round. And if they were to play Toronto, they don't want to play in Canada, in part because of the vaccination issue, in part because of that crazy fan base up there. You don't want to play in Tampa Bay. You get all those fans with the cowbells down there. So for the Red Sox, it's going to be really important to get the number one wild card seed.
Absolutely. And it's going to be a tough and fun race as we enter into the second half. Thank you. As always, we will see you later. Buster, thank you for the update on the Yankees. Graz, how about another New York team with some news?
Yeah, Jess, this one right across the river here in Brooklyn in the NBA, where the ongoing question has been which team will trade for Kevin Durant. We're just over a week now since Durant made his trade request, and yesterday his former teammate Draymond Green backed Durant's decision on his podcast. Take a listen to what Draymond had to say.
If Kevin Durant says, I actually don't want to be here anymore, I want to go to somewhere else, why does it matter? Why does that make you weak? Why does that make him, you know, it means he's running from something? If someone leaves Google to go to Apple after 3 or 4 years, and then they leave Apple after 2 years to go to Tesla, and then they leave Tesla after 4 years to go to DocuSign, no one's going to say that person ran. Everyone's going to say that person did what was best for their career.
Thoughts, Zach?
I don't think anyone's actually mad at Kevin Durant. Look, trade requests are unpleasant. They create drama for teams. But what they really do is just even the balance of power between teams and players. Teams can trade players whenever they want. Players are exercising their power. And the thing is, if you have a trade request, what ends up honoring your contract is, do you play hard through it? And Kevin Durant has done nothing but play hard and be available when healthy for the Brooklyn Nets. You cannot say the same thing for James Harden and Kyrie Irving, so I don't think anyone's mad at KD.
Yeah, Draymond should Google straw man argument and see what comes up with there. But anyway, hey, Wendy, let's talk about what's really going on. What do the Nets perceive as the market for Kevin Durant right now?
Yeah, so we're a week into the Kevin Durant trade request that came down, about 8 days ago. And I think one of the things that the Nets have, discovered is what teams have been discovering for 30 years in star trade situations. The value of the player to your team is not the same as the value of the player you can get in trade. I don't care if you want to go back to the early 90s when Charles Barkley asked out of Philadelphia. You can study a whole bunch of trades since. It's very rare for a team that has to trade the star player to get back what is perceived as equal value. And so the Nets have an extremely high standard, and they should. We are in the second week of July. There is no reason that they should feel any sort of deadline or any pressure. But the reality is they are probably not going to be able to get, quote-unquote equal value, and the first rounds of trade talks over these last 8 days have definitely revealed that.
What's the rush if you're the Nets? You take all the time you have. They don't want to move Kevin Durant because they know the second they do, their entire franchise is altered for a while.
If you're Brooklyn, you stay the course. What's interesting to me, guys, is what happens when Kevin says, as the season gets ready, I want out of here. You need to make this deal. As we tie all this together, though, especially with Draymond's comments, this is why so many people watch the Durant situation in the Bay and they go, we love Steph Curry. He is the guy who has made the whole thing go. He is our anchor. When you hear Steve Kerr and that entire organization sing the praises, it's for the reasons that they know they can count on him all the time. And they know he only ever wanted to be in one place. And that's not a fault of Kevin or any other star in the NBA now. It just shows you how different Steph Curry is than everybody else, because they know that if he's not there to set the tone, they don't have the rings that they have.
And speaking of Golden State, we want to play another edition of Make Me a Trade. And whether it's realistic or not, the Warriors have been floated as a potential Durant destination. So, Zach Lowe, what would that deal hypothetically look like?
Golden State's got everything you need. Here's one I just made up. And let's be clear, the Warriors are not offering this right now because this is a long process. They just won the championship. They have visions of being Spurs 2.0 and having a 20-year window. This would shrink their window. But this is what they got. Wiggins would have to be rerouted somewhere, or Ben Simmons would have to be rerouted somewhere for boring cap reasons. That's not a bad deal. Jordan Poole and Jonathan Kuminga are really good young assets for Brooklyn. And look, Nick's talking about Steph Curry. Are the Warriors poking around thinking about this? Absolutely. There's only one voice that matters inside Golden State's organization about should we dive back into the KD pool. Steph Curry. Just like it was in the Hamptons when Steph Curry said, yeah, I'll share the spotlight with you. I don't care. That's the same question here. If he says, yeah, I'm okay with it, they'll explore it. The other flip side is, does Kevin Durant really want to do this? After being, I think, unfairly ridiculed to some degree for joining a super team, having, I think, in his view, the two titles that he won there slightly discredited because of how good they are. Does he really want to go back there? Now, this would be a trade. He could say, this was out of my hands. This wasn't my decision, like my 2016 free agency. As Nick alluded to earlier, the dynamics here are really interesting, but there's no denying Golden State's got everything you need to get in the game.
Zach, the thing that is so important to remember, Kevin hated that it was Kevin and the Warriors. So does that trade get that bridge to a point where everybody's on the same page again? It is all about Steph, but it's also about Joe Lacob. He has a huge voice inside what goes on. He'll sit down with Steph and Clay and Draymond, and he'll say, what do you all think? Kevin is still unbelievably awesome, guys, and all the Warriors always had the respect because they know he put in the work. But if you make that deal, you are completely gutting what helped you win the title this year, which was the depth that they banked on night after night.
And let me be clear. I don't expect him to go to the Warriors. It would surprise me if he ends up going to the Warriors. Right. They just do have the goods to do it.
Yeah, we're just doing this for fun. Wendy, what are your thoughts on
what are the Warriors known for?
Yeah.
The Warriors are known for being light years ahead. I know we have fun with that sometimes, but you know that statement has kind of been true. And light years ahead is not trading for a guy in his mid-30s when you've got a bunch of guys in their 20s who can develop into star players. We're already seeing Andrew Wiggins develop into more of a star. Now, I don't think any of those, I'm not saying Moses Moody or Jonathan Kuminga are going to become Kevin Durant, but the Warriors have their situation set beautifully right now. Obviously, you owe it to your franchise to have a discussion about something like this, but I wouldn't mess with a championship core, and I wouldn't mess with what looks like a really promising next 5 to 7 years.
All right, well, that all makes sense, but we're going to keep doing these made-up trades until we find one we like. I promise. Lots more on this as we move along.
All right, coming up, we're talking football. Did Jerry Jones and the Cowboys miss out on adding a superstar this offseason? Wait until you hear who wanted to team up with Dak, Micah, and company. Plus, do the Lakers actually want Russell Westbrook back next season? Their new coach with some fascinating comments about his point guard. Could it work? We're talking about it next.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Back to football, where Von Miller signed with the Bills this offseason after helping the Rams win the Super Bowl. But Miller recently made some comments that suggested he actually wanted to play for the Cowboys. He said, "I told them I was ready to come to the Cowboys. I would have taken less to go to Dallas because it's Dallas, but I would have taken that much less." Miller is from DeSoto, Texas, and played his college ball at Texas A&M. Sam, I turn to you. I know this seems kind of like a no-brainer at this point, but did the Cowboys make a mistake by not signing Von Miller?
They did, but their bigger mistake was not offering Von Miller a contract that was in the ballpark of what Buffalo offered. I'm flustered thinking of why didn't they do this contract, right? They offered him the same contract they offered Randy Gregory, right? 5 years, $70 million. Give me something in the ballpark of the Buffalo Bills. You know what Von Miller can do in the playoffs. You know what Von Miller can do in the regular season. You even know what Von Miller can do in the Super Bowl. You've seen him do it two times before, and you've seen him win a Super Bowl MVP. And so for me, if I'm the Dallas Cowboys, I see other teams with talented rosters getting better. I'm going to make my roster even better as well and give Von Miller a contract that was even better than what you offered Randy Gregory.
All right, well, speaking even of the flip side of that, Jeff, is this Cowboys defense good enough to actually make a deep playoff run this season?
Yeah, no question in my mind. I think that is one of the great strengths of this team. Really a top 10 unit for the most part last year, especially in points allowed, but also a team that had 27 interceptions, led the league in takeaways as well. The question for me is, can they replicate that? That is not an easy thing to do. I don't think any team can expect year after year to have 25 plus interceptions and 30 plus takeaways. So absolutely, they have every expectation of being a top 10 unit. The question is, can they replicate a lot of what they did in 2021?
Well, speaking of those expectations, you know, it starts at the top, their leadership. Dan, I turn to you. You know, Mike McCarthy, this is year three for him. What are your expectations for him?
Well, I think he's got a good team, right? I mean, there are some questions. The offensive line getting a little older. They have to replace some guys on that side of the ball. And I think they'll be a playoff contender. But I do think it's a very big year for Mike McCarthy. I think, you know, if he doesn't have playoff success this season, you know, win a playoff game or two, I do think he could be in trouble because they have some guys on the staff that they really like as head coach candidates. Defensive coordinator Dan Quinn got a lot of interest from teams as a head coach candidate last year, and I think he could have a lot of interest from the Dallas Cowboys if they are thinking about making a change at head coach. So I think it's a high-pressure season for Mike McCarthy in Dallas.
All right, Sam, I'll give you the last word here. Is the team is currently constructed, are the Cowboys a legit Super Bowl contender? What do you think?
No, they're not. They need to add pieces to become more legit. They lost their number one wide receiver, Amari Cooper, number three receiver as well. They lost their best, one of their top edge rushers in Randy Gregory, one of the top three, the three-headed monster. So just like the other teams we've seen, we need to continue, if you're the Dallas Cowboys, to add pieces offensively, defensively, to be a legitimate Super Bowl contender.
So speaking of the Cowboys, we want to show you this picture. This is the shirtless picture of Ezekiel Elliott. There we go, right? So he posted this yesterday, the one on the left. Saquon Barkley posted the one on the right. couple of weeks ago, so this is apparently a thing now in
better?
The offseason. Right, like, right, exactly. Who wore it better? Who didn't wear it better? Exactly. But that gets us into our little game we want to play called Right or Wrong. I'm going to say something. These guys will tell me whether I am right or wrong. Jeff, I say Ezekiel Elliott will have a better season this year than Saquon Barkley. Am I right or wrong?
Ooh, I'm going to say you're wrong, and I only say that because I feel like the Cowboys could go with a little bit more of a committee approach this year than we've seen in the past. And that's not taking away from what Ezekiel can do, but maybe trying to keep him fresher for the postseason, as opposed to Saquon Barkley, who more than likely I could see the Giants completely running him into the ground and being an extremely productive, if not winning, running back in the NFL.
Sacho, if I say the Patriots will miss the playoffs, am I right or am I wrong?
You are wrong. You must have forgotten who's coaching the Patriots and also who's going to their second year as quarterback. So check this out. The Patriots lost three of their last four games last season. This is December and January football, where they're usually the best. Yet they still made the playoffs. And so for me, I think if Mac Jones, as he is getting stronger, getting better physically, mentally, they're going to make an even stronger run and make the playoffs again this year.
All right, one more try. Jeff, if I say this is Tom Brady's last year in Tampa, am I right or am I wrong?
I would say you're right. I don't think that even Tom knows at this point. But ultimately, that probably makes the most sense. Feels like the most logical conclusion. One more year and then be done. But of course, I think I'm going to step aside of the retirement game of wondering whether Tom Brady's done or not, because quite honestly, I don't think any of us know.
Yeah, I think, well, look, I mean, none of us know. And it seems like Tom doesn't even know, really, at this point. Right. Changes his mind on the topic. So, but I mean, are they, I mean, Jeff, are he and the Bucks looking at his future as a year-to-year thing at this point?
Yeah, I would say even Tom is looking at it year-to-year at this point, just from the standpoint of health, of family, all those types of things. I mean, he knew he had an itch to come back this year and play another season, but I don't think that he's sitting here saying, like, yeah, I'm going to play three more years and then I'll be done. Like, this is definitely a year-to-year situation for Tom at this point.
Sam, Tom Brady, he's going, of course, into his age 45 season. Does he have enough weapons around him?
I think he does. I think he does. Obviously, you added Russell Gage, which is a huge add, especially when it comes to receiver, to go with Mike Evans and then Chris Godwin getting healthy. The question is going to be, who's going to step up at tight end? Will it be Cameron Brake, who's got a lot of experience out of Harvard? Will it be one of the young tight ends, Cole Kieft? Will it be Cade Otton? Who's going to step up and fill the void that Gronkowski will leave? But I think that Tom Brady does have enough weapons. I think that just Tampa Bay offense just needs time for everyone to get healthy.
Training camp coming up in just a couple of weeks in Tampa. We'll see what Tom Brady's got in his age 45 season.
All right, coming up in Russ We Trust. The Lakers really want him back. The Lakers coach has a new plan for the former MVP. Could it work? But first, a little sneaky Hembo time. This one's for you, Nick, who has played the most games as Russell Westbrook's teammate. Yes, Hembo's got it cooking. Nick, you're up next.
Oh, man, this is not good. I need to call the president.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meet nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
All right, Nick, you're out the hot seat. Come on.
After conferring with my colleague, Mr. Lowell.
Don't blame me.
No,
don't
conferring.
I'm going to try already. I'm going with James Harden.
James Harden is incorrect for who has played the most games. It's Russ's teammate.
I have a backup guest.
Nick Collins! Oh, your backup? You said you had a backup.
My backup was Stephen Adams. Where's Stephen Adams rank up?
I feel like the Nets, guys.
It's not a good feeling right now.
I need how close were we? I need some more context.
Oh,
Kevin
yeah,
Durant
we got that.
Was second. Durant Kevin Durant was second. Right?
Oh,
608.
608. Oh.
Yeah. It was close.
Mr.
Was close.
Thunder. Right. Mr. Thunder.
Mr. Dale, get out of here. We got to talk to Zach Lowe. It's time for fact or fiction. Zach.
I'm too rattled to do this.
No, you're not. You got this. Warriors should be the title favorite next season. Fact or fiction?
Fiction, if you're talking outright favorite, I can't go there with the Clippers reloaded, the Celtics, the Bucks. Everyone forgets about the Bucks. The Nuggets are loaded. I think there's five or six teams with a decent, real chance at the title. Next year is going to be fun, so fiction.
All right, Draymond's got his next podcast topic. Now, fact or fiction, the Celtics should be the favorites to win the East next season.
Fact, but co-favorites. I think the Bucks are right there with them, but the Celtics with Brogdon and Gallinari have loaded up another year of experience. They won't wear out their star players on the way there next year. I think those two teams, though, are just awesome, awesome teams.
All right, one more on your favorite topic. Kyrie joining LeBron gives LeBron his best shot at another title. Fact or fiction?
His best shot among all possible things, like he can't go in a time machine, he can't reverse time and undo the Russell Westbrook trade. Then of realistic things, fact. That's all the only real avenue to get from Westbrook to a player that really fits. Kyrie fits. If he plays, Kyrie, LeBron, AD is one hell of a big three. I wouldn't sleep on that group.
Amazing. We always have to say if he plays. Like, we literally always have to make that.
But he should this year, though. There's no vaccine mandate. He's healthy. He's an unexpiring deal like that. He should be a regular NBA player this year.
What could go wrong? Hey, speaking of L.A., new Lakers coach Darvin Ham had something to say about his current point guard, Russell Westbrook. This is what Darvin said. Count it out prematurely. And then he emphasized, count it out prematurely. Went on to say, I love Russell Westbrook, man. Just his mentality, his approach, just to see him, a guy of that magnitude, and everything he's done in the league, get hated on. But being me, I got a wholehearted plan, a clear plan on how I'm going to use him. I showed it to him, sat down, brought up stuff for him. I think he's going to flourish. We ain't going to try and curtail his energy. We're just going to diversify it and redirect it. So, Wendy, what do you make of new Lakers coach Darvin Ham's comments on Russell Westbrook?
I think it is exactly what he should be doing. He's very smart. One of his terrific attributes as a young coach is his ability to connect with star players. He is definitely employing that here and trying to convince Westbrook that he can do something different. Having said that, what Russell Westbrook said at the end of last season is not being talked about enough. His exit interview, where he basically took no accountability, blamed it almost all on his former head coach, Frank Vogel, and the rest of it on LeBron James and Anthony Davis, was alarming. People dogged and what Doc Rivers said about Ben Simmons last year for months. What Doc Rivers said about Ben Simmons was true. What Russell Westbrook said was borderline delusional. And so for Darvin Ham to believe that if he lays the plan out nicely in a beautiful dinner conversation over great food and wine, and that Russell Westbrook, who refused to take personal responsibility for his inability or complete indifference in changing his game last year, and expect different results, I wish him good luck, but I do respect the process he is trying to go through.
What do you think? Is he kidding himself about Westbrook and the viability on the Lakers?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, because if you are a player or a coach in the last couple of years, Dan, and you've watched Russell Westbrook, he's just not the same player. So Darvin Ham is doing what he should be doing in the moment as a new coach, trying to build up the confidence of a once very great player who doesn't have as much confidence as we're used to seeing. But the tape does not lie.
He's not the same player, and no matter what system or format you put him in, that player from Oklahoma City with all that skill and athleticism bouncing all over the floor, he's not coming back.
I mean, the highlights look like something out of the middle part of Space Jam where he lost his ability to play. Like, is it over for him?
Here's what Darvin Ham means by redirecting Russell Westbrook's talents. It means defense. Go all in on defense. It means being a cutter off the ball, because guess what? We have LeBron James. You probably shouldn't have the ball if we have LeBron James on our team. And setting screens for LeBron. That's where Russ could be most dangerous. Guess what? We've been having that conversation, coaches have been having that conversation about Russell Westbrook for 15 years about dialing in on those things. It never happens. It's not going to happen. There's no reason to expect it'll happen this year. He doesn't want to do those things. I think this is a lost cause with Russ in Los Angeles, and they've got to find a way to move off of him and get Kyrie Irving if they're serious about winning the title next year or trying to. And by the way, when you have LeBron at age 37 or 38 up for a contract extension, you've got to be all in for this coming season, or else what are we even doing here?
So if they have to move Westbrook for Kyrie, Wendy, how feasible is that?
I mean, it's feasible in that the trade functionally works. And, you know, I've been talking about how difficult it is to trade for a player making $36 million. Well, here's one where you don't need to aggregate five players together to make it happen. The problem is that the Nets don't know what they're going to have on their roster and on their salary books after a Kevin Durant trade, or even if they don't trade Kevin Durant. They don't have that answer right now. So taking on a $47 million player is complicated. Plus, Russell Westbrook is a downgrade from Kyrie Irving. We can debate about availability and things like that, but it is a downgrade. And so if I am taking back a player that makes significantly more money and is a downgrade, I have to be compensated for that. Not to mention, we know that there's no other market for Russell Westbrook. So I have to be incentivized to take him and bid on him. So the Lakers are going to have to pay. They're going to have to pay for those things. And coming up with that price is going to be very difficult, because the Lakers can sit on the other side of the table and say, well, who are you trading Kyrie Irving to? You're right. Lucky to get anything for Kyrie Irving. If we give you a second round pick, take it and say thank you. And so that's what we have, the loggerheads that we have right now. I do believe eventually, because the Lakers need to have Kyrie Irving, I do believe eventually he will be a Laker. But getting there and the process we have to getting there to get to that spot could be grueling and also could end up being very costly to the Lakers.
So there's no other market for Westbrook. There's no other market for Kyrie. I mean, do you think, as Wendy seems to think, that the Lakers blink first here?
I do think the longer this goes, there's going to be some other team that talks itself into Kyrie Irving on an expiring deal. Clearly a talented player. I voted him all NBA two seasons ago when he was the most available of the Nets stars. But Wendy mentioned the Lakers got to pay. They got to pay with draft pick. Okay, well then pay. You're paying LeBron James and Anthony Davis like $90 million this year. You have to be all in to win the title. If you have to sacrifice a 2029 first round pick, who cares? Why else do you have LeBron James on your team? LeBron doesn't care about that pick. He's going to be long retired from the NBA.
Like any good GM, everybody misses. LeBron, the GM, missed bad on this Westbrook thing, and he's trying to cover it up with a pick he'll never see. That's the key now. So if you can make this pick in the deal and make it work, go for it if you're the Lakers. If you're the Nets, you do exactly what Zach is saying. You wait it out and hope somebody pushes up the leverage.
Big money issues to deal with in L.A. and in Brooklyn. Jess, what do you got on baseball?
Oh, let's run some bases. Get on your good shoes. And let's begin in Fenway Park, where the Yankees were playing without a banged up Aaron Judge and Anthony Rizzo. But it don't matter. Josh Donaldson hit a grand slam. By the way, third grand slam in the last two games for the Yanks. And Garrett Cole survived two homers from Rafael Devers, who owns him, by the way, as the Yankees won 6-5. In Houston, Yordan Alvarez hits his 26th home run to give the Astros the lead for good over Kansas City. Justin Verlander, by the way, how ridiculous has he been? 8 strikeouts, is now 11-3 in a comeback season after Tommy John surgery. And Mookie Betts returning from that fractured rib. The two of the Dodgers' 4 home runs last night. Tony Gonsolin, secret pick, by the way, NL Cy Young for me because of how nasty he has been. He only allowed 2 runs over 7 innings and is now 11-0 as LA beat the Cubs. And in Queens, J.D. Davis hit a grand slam. Finished the night with a career-high 5 ribbies as the Mets demolished the Marlins 10-0. The Mets now lead the Braves by 3.5 games. In the NL East, let's welcome in our friend Buster Olney. Now, I've got top 5 picks of, now that we're at the halfway point, of the top 5 teams right now in baseball. I want to get your thoughts on those. You see them. Okay, so I've got New York, Buster, number 1 because of their record, how dominant of a start they've had. Now, Houston, I feel like, is going to be number 1. They've beat the Yanks 7 out of 9 times this year. They've been so good against them. I've got the Mets at number 3. We just talked about them. The Dodgers at number 4. The Braves, look out, the defending champs. We talked about just 3 games back of the Mets, and they're starting to roll along. What's your reaction to my top 5?
Jess, you got it wrong in both leagues. What are you doing here? And you can't mitigate it by saying you think the Astros will eventually be number 1. They are number 1 right now. They had those 9 games against the Yankees and the Mets, and they went 7-2 during that time. And yes, the Yankees are having an unbelievable season. But you know what? So are the Astros. They're on pace to win like 107 games. And in the National League, how about those Atlanta Braves? Over the last 5 weeks, they're playing at a 125-win pace. We know how good they were last year. And on top of that, they've added Spencer Strider, Michael Harris, the second playing center field, the top 2 candidates for National League Rookie of the Year. That is a dangerous team.
That is a hot take. Astros number 1. All we've heard about is those New York Yankees all in this first half. I do agree with you as we get into the back half. But now let's move on now that we're coming into the trade deadline. We're going to play a game called Just One Guy. I say a team, and you give me a player that they should trade for. Let's start with the Los Angeles Dodgers, Buster. Who you got?
They need a reliever. They need Jorge Lopez of the Baltimore Orioles. He's been terrific this year. 1.79 ERA. And, Jess, it's because of all the issues with the Dodgers' bullpen so far. They lost Daniel Hudson to the knee injury. Craig Kimbrell has been up and down. Blake Treinen's coming back, and they hope it's okay. But the Dodgers need depth as they head down the stretch. The Houston Astros, to me, need Cedric Mullins, center fielder for the Baltimore Orioles. The guy finished 9th in the American League MVP voting last year, Silver Slugger Award. He's an excellent defender. Big question is whether or not the Orioles are actually going to sell, because they've been playing really well of late. Do they want to keep these good feelings going, or do they want to stick with the plan and begin to trade some players? And if you're the New York Yankees, go get Andrew Benintendi, who would be perfect for that lineup. Left-handed hitter, experience, contact guy, batting .319 this year, .388 on-base percentage. He's got all that postseason experience. He knows all about Yankee Stadium. He would be an excellent fit there. One thing to keep in mind, though, about Andrew Benintendi, as Jeff Passan says, everybody in baseball wants Andrew Benintendi. He's probably going to be the most prominent position player traded before we get to the deadline.
Oh, I completely agree, especially because outfield, as we know, are the best athletes on any team. So, of course, you want to be better. And I do think the Yankees' one weakness has been Joey Gallo and that bottom of the lineup. I know it doesn't seem like they have a lot of weaknesses, but the AL East has been absolutely ridiculous. I think a lot of people don't realize that the postseason started today. You're looking at who would make the playoffs, not only the Yankees, but the top 3. And those wild card, the Rays, the Red Sox, and the Blue Jays, when you look at a wild card series, potentially it could be the top 4 teams from the AL East. We've talked about how strong this division is, but Buster, I throw it to you on if this is going to be the postseason, do you see the AL East having 4 teams in it?
Yeah, among a lot of stupid picks that I made before the season started, I did pick all 4 American League East teams to make the postseason. We know the Yankees and the depth of that team. The other 3 teams, I think, will all strengthen before we get to the trade deadline. And yes, 2/3 of the American League playoffs will be comprised of American League East teams.
Stupid picks. You always have great picks. And I know a lot of it, too. Everyone was talking Toronto, remember, coming in. That was going to be the big one. But thank you so much, Buster, for joining me, and especially talking baseball, taking over with a lot of baseball. All right, this weekend is WNBA All-Star Weekend in Chicago, and tomorrow on ESPN, we'll have the 3-point contest and skills challenge. Dan, you're a part of that, right? 3
yep.
Eastern, and Sunday, the 18th annual All-Star Game is on ABC at 1 Eastern. Both are also available on the ESPN app, anywhere you can catch it.
I have no basketball skills. You know who does? Kevin Durant. Where will he be playing next season? Will it be Miami, Phoenix, Golden State, back in Brooklyn? Our insiders will give you their predictions when we come back.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Brian Windhorst is back with us, and we're bringing back the Windy Watch. Windy, what should we be watching with James Harden?
Yeah, did you know that he's an unrestricted free agent just hanging out there? No, no drama here. He's going to re-sign with the Sixers. But the moves that the Sixers have made have implied he's going to take a huge pay cut from the $47 million he opted out of. But he's probably waiting around to see what other moves the Sixers might make to see how much of a pay cut he's going to have to take. If they're able to shave off some salary through some trades, they may be able to give him a little bit more money in what he's sacrificing to help build up that roster. Yesterday we had some significant news hit the NBA when Ja Morant's contract became known to the rest of the league. And in a pleasant surprise for Grizzlies fans, the fifth year of that deal is fully guaranteed, no player option. Now, a player of Ja Morant's caliber could definitely have asked for and probably gotten a player option in that contract. And that is always a little bit disconcerting in a small market like Memphis. We know that as soon as Donovan Mitchell signed in Utah with that player option, we instantly started to wonder about where he was headed. But Ja Morant is committed to Memphis for six more years. That's a significant detail that came yesterday. And of course, we have to check in on what everybody's thinking about in the NBA, which is Kevin Durant. A week into the discussions about a potential trade, the Nets have really not gotten traction anywhere from what I have been told. Their asking price remains very high. The offers remain strong, but not anywhere near what the Nets want. And so they're settled in for a potentially long stalemate here. We'll see if conversations that happen at the Summer League in Las Vegas over the next 10 days change that. But we're going to be talking about this one for a while.
We are going to be talking about this room for a while. And I mean, it's definitely fun to talk about, no question about it. Look, Kevin Durant, obviously a significant player, should be, you know, you would think everybody be falling all over themselves. Very interesting that they're not. I do want to mention something. This flashback Friday, it was 12 years ago on this day, 12, that LeBron James decided to take his talents to South Beach. James went on TV to announce his decision, and here's what it looked and sounded like.
The answer to the question everybody wants to know. LeBron, what's your decision?
This fall, man, this is very tough. And this fall, I'm going to take my talents to South Beach and join the Miami Heat.
Our Nick Friedel, a student of history, yeah, he wore this shirt to honor the decision, the 12-year anniversary.
I hope I can take my talents to South Beach if Kevin lands there.
Well, we need you for about 10 more minutes, and then you can go. It's hot down there, though, this time of year. You might want to wait till the winter. Wendy, you were in Cleveland at the time this happened. Obviously, it was a pretty seismic thing there. Looking back, how has LeBron's decision to go to Miami impacted NBA free agency?
Yeah, I think when people look back at it, Dan, they think of the decision as the television show. And the television show was obviously not good. But the decision process, which was creating a super team with three guys coming together to align their free agencies, align their representation, and to throw their weight around, has aged incredibly. This is now common practice in the NBA. It has shaped the last 12 years. It is, you know, the concept of star players coming together and trying to force their way together, sometimes easily, sometimes through, you know, blunt trauma, has shaped the way the NBA has played out. It has determined champions. It will continue to determine champions. LeBron was ahead. LeBron, Dwayne, and Chris Bosh too. But LeBron especially was ahead of the curve and ahead and a man shaping his time with this move. The television show, though, that was a different story.
Zach, you agree this was at the moment that changed things in NBA free agency?
I think it did, and I also think you look at the drama, the melodrama, the chaos of all these super teams. I think what the Heat did, making four straight finals and winning two titles, has actually aged quite well compared to what's happening in Brooklyn and has happened elsewhere.
Yeah. Nick?
I remember sitting in Chicago a couple days before the Bulls thought they were getting Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, and they were hoping LeBron would come there. Then they find out Wade and Bosh are going to Miami. And when that decision went down, the Bulls organization was just like, and it broke them for a moment. Now, they got to the Eastern Conference Finals. Derek got hurt. We know that whole story. But there were so many different layers to that and so much pressure around all these different teams. And for LeBron and that Heat group to do what they did, that will be the legacy that they had all that success.
Derrick Rose, that was the great rivalry we never got, was Bulls Heat over and over over again in the playoffs because of that injury.
Yeah, Heat won two championships, not three, not four, right?
And still and aged well. I know that ceremony was audacious and did not go over very well, but what they did was hard. It's hard to make the finals over and over again.
So he was free agent. We're looking at Kevin Durant now trying to do, you know, something similar. I mean, is this, do you see it as a similar situation 12 years later?
I guess. I mean, it's all about player empowerment and players flexing their muscles to say, hey, why should we let governors, owners just make decisions on our behalf? Why don't we take some of the power back within the rules?
Well, of course, back to Kevin Durant. Let's make some picks. It's the end of the week. Happy Friday. Let's have some fun. Nick, I'm going to throw it to you. Where does Kevin Durant start the NBA season?
Just this is the NBA's version of Instagram versus reality. The Nets thought that they were going to get all these different players and picks in return. They still may, but it's not reality right now. They've got to wait. Ultimately, I think he goes to Phoenix.
Phoenix. All right. Wendy, how about you?
Yeah, I know that the Suns can't make the best offer, and the Nets want the best offer, but I have to lean on history. When a player wants to go somewhere of Kevin Durant's caliber, he usually gets what he wants. So I'll say tentatively Phoenix. I don't even know if the Suns would be very potent. I don't know if it would even create the best chance for him, if there could be other places where he would go. But right now, as far as I know, he wants Phoenix. So that's where I have to lean.
Yeah, a lot of players get what they want. We got two for Phoenix.
My wife will tell you I haven't learned enough a lot in life, but two things I have learned is, number one, always expect the worst about the Nets franchise. Just expect bad things to happen. And number two, superstars tend to get where they want to go. So I'll make it a clean sweep and go Phoenix Suns.
All right. There you have it. Three for Phoenix. We'll see what happens with the Kevin Durant saga as it rolls on. Tonight, though, MLS's Heineken Rivalry Week kicks off. 7:30 Eastern with the Philadelphia Union hosting DC United. Then it's El Tráfico with the Galaxy taking on LAFC. And international icons Gareth Bale and Giorgio Chiellini making their MLS debuts. Both matches are on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. When we're done here, First Take will be coming up next. Did Kevin Durant make the right business decision to one out of Brooklyn? Can the Lakers actually make it work with Russell Westbrook? They will talk about all that on First Take at the top of the hour.
Oh, it's so good.
It's so good.
It's so good. Except here's the difference. KD is not in his prime.
Here's the next UFC Fight Night. It's tomorrow from the Apex in Las Vegas with our lightweight main event. The prelims start at 6 Eastern, followed by the main card at 9 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and ESPN Plus, which you can get by going to ESPNplus.com/UFC or by downloading the ESPN app. That's about all we got for today. You have a good time?
Oh, yeah, boys. Yeah.
Let's do it again sometime.
First time hosting with you guys.
Great job. Thanks to Zach and Nick and Nick's shirt for showing up and making it a great show.
Pocket square.
We're back next week. First Take is next.